Okay, this is the hour. We will take your phone calls with Dr. Tony Yoon. And you, of course, just let your fingers do the dialing and you'll get right to us. We're looking for your questions and your stories. Maybe you've heard of a plastic surgery nightmare. You want to share that with us. We'll get to your calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Dr. Tony Yoon with us. We're talking about his latest work, The Age Fix. You enjoy writing, Tony?
Oh, yeah, it's a blast. I mean, I think the big thing, though, is I love kind of sharing with everybody all these secrets that plastic surgeons necessarily don't want you to know. So, ways to look younger without going under the knife.
In your field, what is the wildest story you've ever heard?
There's a number of them. For example, I was once involved with an operation where we had issues with healing of a certain body part, and the only way to fix it was to bring out the leeches. That's one thing that people don't know is that plastic surgeons, we have in our arsenal, if all goes wrong, if the whole surgery just goes to pot and we're having major problems, leeches are our secret weapon to save this operation. And I know of numerous operations that have been saved by using leeches as a way to keep a body part from dying off, basically.
Do you have like a little cup full of leeches always on standby?
A lot of hospitals actually have leeches there waiting to be used, and you can actually order leeches and get them within about 6 to 12 hours from a mail order company.
What do they do?
Well, what leeches do is they actually suck the blood out of a body part. So, for example, if you've got a finger that's replanted, and that finger, the artery is working fine, but the vein isn't working fine, you attach a leech onto it, and it's literally like a vein, like an external vein. So it takes the bad blood out, the blood that has all the carbon dioxide and stuff in it, and allows the new blood to come in. So it's kind of like a vein.
How long do you keep the leech on the body part?
So what you do is you apply the leech will attach, will suck the blood, and will get bigger and bigger, and eventually will actually come off on its own when it's full. And then you put it in, if I remember right, it's been a while since I've used it, you put it in alcohol, the leech dies, it expels all the blood, and then you throw it out. And then every hour or two, you put another one on, because you need to do this for several days until the new blood supply literally develops in that body part.
Amazing. Okay, before we go to calls, if people are contemplating any kind of plastic surgery, what do you recommend that they do first?
Okay, three things. The first thing, check out my book, The Age Fix, because it has a solution to every single beauty and aging problem that you can think of, from wrinkles and age spots to bad breath and hair loss. Check out The Age Fix book. Second thing, go to realself.com. This is a website that's the most popular plastic surgery website in the country. Not only can you find ratings for doctors, but you can find ratings for procedures. So if you're thinking of having a procedure done, it will give you a percent of people who think it's worth it versus not worth it. So if you have a procedure that's a 97% worth it, you know there's a good chance that's good. 20% worth it means it probably doesn't work.
Well, that's realself.com?
realself.com. And the final thing is make sure your surgeon is board certified and a member of the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery. Okay, it's ASAPS, A-S-A-P-S. Those are the cream of the crop of real plastic surgeons who do cosmetic surgery. So you do those three things. Check out the AgeFix book, go to realself.com, and make sure they're a member of ASAPS, A-S-A-P-S, and you can do no wrong if you do all of that.
And there are some healthcare companies that will finance whatever procedure you want, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. And probably one out of every five of my patients use actual financing. The most popular ones are Care Credit and Alpheon Credit, where you literally can get a credit card for your plastic surgery.
And you make your appointment. Do they all have consultations first, Tony?
Yeah, you have to consult first, yeah. So make sure that when you consult with somebody about plastic surgery, that doctor sits down, they go over the procedure with you. The amount of time the doctor spends consulting with you is really, I think, indicative of how much time that doctor is going to spend doing your operation and making sure that you're happy with it.
Questions and stories, we're going to take your calls now. We go to Ann in Utah to get things started. Hello, Ann, go ahead.
Hello, I'd like to know the procedure you were talking about where the fat is frozen and then, you know, melts away in the body. Can that procedure be used in when someone has like a tumor or cancer?
No. Cancer and tumor is a whole other thing. So it's purely for cosmetics. So you can do all these different body parts with it. You can even do a double chin with it. But if you have cancer, if you've got a cancerous growth, definitely you've got to see a cancer and oncologic surgeon.
Tony, in these cases where you freeze, let's say, the fat and it melts away, does the skin tighten up? What do you do about that?
There are reports that the skin does tighten up a little bit, but it's not a procedure that really aggressively tightens the skin. So I have patients that say, I've got this loose skin on my tummy from having children. If I freeze that fat, will it cause that skin to tighten up? Not necessarily. You know, it really is for people who have just extra areas of fat and they want to get rid of some of it. You know, it's not the most dramatic change, because it's about 25% of the thickness of that fat, which is nice, but not, you know, super, super dramatic.
I have a friend of mine who a couple years ago went in and was raving before they went in about a procedure that was going to tighten their facial skin, and it was with strings that they injected into the face, and then they tighten you up, and apparently they got recalled or something happened to them?
Yeah, they've all the companies that have made those pretty much have all gone out of business because they don't work, and that was the problem. There's all these fads in plastic surgery, and they come and go. That's why, you know, going on reading the book or going to Real Stuff can learn, because there's so many fads out there that don't work, and these doctors will perform it, they'll market it, they'll say it's the best thing. The problem with that, those thread lifts, is that those threads, those sutures were permanent, but the results lasted maybe a few months. And so you've got these permanent sutures in your face, and you have a lift out of it for just a few months. So it was just a disaster for a lot of people.
Is that a lawsuit waiting to happen?
I'm sure that has happened. Luckily, that's not something that I've ever done, because I've known from the beginning that this just doesn't make sense.
It sounds like smoke and mirrors, doesn't it?
Oh, it's terrible.
We've got Tom in Riverside, California with us. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask your guest, Tony, as far as hair loss, which is a big problem for men, is stem cells a solution? And what is the best solution? And I'll just take my answer off the hair.
All right, thank you.
There, you know, with hair loss for men, there's a number of things to consider. The first thing actually to consider, you know, is kind of the simple stuff, Rogaine and Propecia. So talk to your doctor about getting that. Rogaine you can just buy over the counter, which is real inexpensive.
You just kind of like rub it on your head, right?
Yeah, basically. But short of that, if that doesn't work for you, the next step is called low-light lasers. Now, they make these as a laser comb. You may have seen advertisements for that.
I've seen that, yeah.
And you can actually, now they even make them as like a baseball cap. So you put this baseball cap on, you take it off, and on the inside there are all these lasers inside that will stimulate the hair follicles to enter a growth phase. And it will cause the hair to actually get thicker. It's scientifically proven. It's not painful, anything like that. Those caps do cost several hundreds of dollars.
Tony, What happens to the hair follicles in the beginning to have hair fall out?
Well, that's where there's the issue that people have. If you have genetically, you're going to genetically go bald, these types of treatments are probably not going to help you a lot. And if you've got hair that's actually gone, if you're bald and you put this laser cap on, you're not going to grow hair. It's purely for those areas that are thinning, and it can help. If you literally have bald areas, the only other option would be an actual hair transplant. And there are actual robots now that do almost the entire surgery all automated.
Robots?
Robots that it's an automated hair transplant system now, where the robot will actually do the whole surgery for the most part.
What does it do?
So it takes individual hairs from other parts of your scalp, and then puts them into the parts that you want them.
Does it pull it up? It pulls out your hair, let's say, from the back of your head?
Yes, yeah. So what we used to do is, back in the day, it was like doll's hair, where you would take clumps of hair and then replant them basically into the areas that are bald. It went from that now to what's called follicular unit transplantation or follicular unit extraction, where you take each specific hair from the back of your head or from the side and then re-implant it into the front of your head where you want to fill that area back out.
And how does it stick it into the head, into the scalp?
It just makes a tiny incision, and you literally, it's like it's like planting a plant, really. You stick that hair into that new little hole, and then it grows into place.
Are you awake during the procedure?
Yes, yeah. So all the areas are anesthetized, and literally it's like plucking a hair from the back of your head and then re-implanting it onto the front of your head.
How many pieces of hair do you need in order to look full?
Usually it's thousands, and so you have to pay, literally people pay per hair, a couple of dollars per hair.
So this could be very expensive.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And sometimes it takes multiple sessions. And that's why, the time to treat hair loss is before it's actually bald and when it's starting to thin. And that's when you go after the Rogaine, the Propecia, the low-light laser therapy. And then it was mentioned, too, it's not stem cells that you can use for hair loss, but you can use growth factors. So now people are actually taking blood from your arm, from a vein in your arm. They spin that blood down, remove the platelets, which are filled with growth factors, and injecting that into the scalp. And that as well can help stimulate that hair to grow.
Will technology get to the point, Tony, 5 years from now, where things like baldness will be a thing of the past?
It can be. I mean, really, it can be now, just with these. I mean, now we're having actual robots do these operations for us. I mean, you don't have to be bald anymore.
That's amazing. What if something goes awry, though? What happens?
Well, that's where you can get the complications. And not all the hair is going to grow, but it's just getting better and better. I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, when we did hair transplants, it literally looked like doll's hair, where you had these clumps of hair sticking out. Now it can look so natural without any real visible scars.
Amazing. Technology at its best, huh?
Technology is helping us in lots of ways, more than just doing selfies and social media.
Now, rhinoplasty is the nose, right?
Yes.
And we talked about how so many people are having that done. I have seen procedures where somebody had a really bad hooked nose, and they went in and got a little bob to it, and they came out, they look great. The nose changes your appearance, doesn't it?
Yeah, so the key to the nose, it's interesting because nobody is ever known for a good-looking nose. If you think, okay, what celebrity has the best-looking nose? There really isn't anybody.
Nobody brings that up.
No.
They've said you have a cute nose, but nobody brings up your nose, really.
No, and so a good-looking nose allows the other features of our face to stand out. And that's what happened. There was an actress years ago named Ashley Simpson, who her sister was Jessica Simpson, but Ashley had a big bump on her nose and was kind of considered the less attractive sister. She had her nose done, and after that, people thought, wow, she's gorgeous. And she looks the same. It's just her nose just doesn't stick out anymore. And so a nose that has a bump on it or that draws attention to it can actually detract from the other more attractive features of the face. And that's why nose jobs are so popular. And I tell you, I would say over 50% of Hollywood celebrities have had their noses done.
Now, here's the great question, Tony. We all have a couple eyes, a couple of ears, a nose, a mouth. Why is it that with these same pieces, some people look absolutely stunning and gorgeous and good-looking, and other people with a nose, two eyes, a mouth look absolutely horrible?
Interestingly enough, there have been books written by plastic surgeons that have analyzed the face, and they've actually made mathematical computations and equations where you measure certain parts of the face, and by putting these measurements into these equations, they can say, quote unquote, how attractive somebody is, believe it or not. And so they say they can take a celebrity, put their measurements into this huge equation, and they can literally come out with a celebrity saying where you can see that Marilyn Monroe is going to be ranked very, very high. So her score is super high. And then you get somebody who's an attractive celebrity, but not somebody who's known for being, super, super attractive. And they're going to get kind of a middle-of-the-road one. And then let's say a Roseanne Barr or something is going to be quite low. So you may have like a Ellen DeGeneres who's pretty and attractive, who may be kind of,
She's cute.
And then you get somebody like a Marilyn Monroe where she's going to be at the top of that scale.
But why is that? Why does that happen?
It comes down to proportions and evenness. And symmetry, there's so many factors that are involved. And what is considered, there are actual models that we consider that are based off of even things that you see back in the Egyptians. okay, and the hieroglyphics in all the drawings where you have certain proportions, they're called like the golden ratio and things, where it all comes down to math, believe it or not.
See, what's so amazing to me is how the human mind reacts to that, because a very attractive person could come into a room and you might have a table of, let's say, five guys, and the girl is very pretty. Five guys will all look at her and go, wow, she's striking. Everybody will say that. Yet we're all looking at her in a different way, but everybody says that. I find that fascinating.
Well, it's this golden ratio, and it really is something that we see throughout nature. And you even look at, if you look at the ratios of how butterfly wings are made, that follows the same golden ratio as when you see attractive body parts, and especially the attractive face. It all comes down to this kind of golden ratio that we talk about in our field. And in the end, it's all mathematics, as interesting as that is.
That is really something. Next up, let's take another call. Before we take a break, then we'll come back with final calls with Dr. Tony. We'll go to Nancy in Los Angeles. Hey, Nance, go ahead.
Hi, George. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
First caller, years of listener.
Thank you.
And I wanted to tell you and the doctor that I think there are a lot of us out there that may be frightened because we really don't understand the process. I know for me, 2 years ago, I had surgery. I had plastic surgery. By the way, it's been the best thing I've ever done. I lost a lot of weight, and it was not hanging on the neck, so to speak, and the eyes were quite fat.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I had a complete facelift. I didn't really understand what I was having done, and I'm really not sure if that wasn't a bad thing for me.
Nancy, when you healed up and looked at yourself in the mirror after the swelling went down, were you like in awe?
In awe, yes. In awe. I will always look at the before picture and after picture. It's amazing to me. I can't believe that could have happened for me. And it will always be one of the most bravest thing I have ever done was to do that.
Can I ask you what did it cost you for the whole procedure?
About $30,000. And that's probably because the best friend of my plastic surgeon's had gone through a very heavy divorce, and he was staying with me. My husband and he were friends. And, you know, my doctor said, if you keep him with you, I'll give you a deal. So I kept him with me, and my doctor lived up to his word. And I went in surgery. I went in at 8 o'clock in the morning and came out at 5:30 in the afternoon.
Wow.
And I wanted lips, but my husband said I could not have them because you put sewers or something in your body, but my doctor said, let's just go ahead and put your own fat in your lip. And that was the thing that was the most exciting thing to me. When I woke up from surgery, I could feel my lips were bigger, and I was really excited. I wanted to see what my lips looked like.
Good
but
for you, Nancy.
Thank you, George, for doing such a great job and sharing these kind of information.
It's,
I can't be the only one out there.
No, you aren't. It's great information. We're going to come back and take final calls with Tony next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Our final segment with Dr. Tony Yoon as we talk about his latest work, The Age Fix. Tony, what is Kybella and what does that do?
Kybella is one of the newest things in plastic surgery today, and it's a solution to double chins without surgery. So it's composed of deoxycholic acid, which is a naturally occurring substance in our GI tract that basically destroys fat. So we inject it. It's FDA approved now. We can inject it into the double chin to cause that double chin to reduce and actually melts that fat away.
Ouch. Doesn't that hurt?
Actually not. It is multiple little injections, so I usually numb the skin up beforehand. But within a month, you're going to see that double chin probably after one treatment 20 to 30% improved. It usually takes 2 to 4 treatments to completely reduce the double chin. So it's for those people who've always had a double chin and they've never liked it. They don't want to have liposuction or surgery. The treatment, literally, the actual injections will take me about 3 minutes.
Now, what's a procedure like that cost, Tony, generally?
The problem with Kybella is it's expensive. Each treatment runs a minimum of about $800 and could be upwards of $1,500 depending on how much you have to have treated.
And you
need more than one treatment.
More than one, okay.
Yeah, but it's for those people who don't want surgery. It is a very easy way to get rid of that double chin. It just, it costs a bit of money.
And there are fad treatments these days too, aren't there?
There's so many things out there. You know, that thread lift that you mentioned before, where it's like permanent sutures but temporary results. There's always these types of procedures coming around. There used to be a procedure called mesotherapy where doctors would make up their own witch's brew concoction of various substances, none of these FDA approved for that purpose, and inject it into people as ways to reduce cellulite and reduce fat, and it created horrible inflammation, infection, scarring. So you just got to be very careful if you're going to have any type of a cosmetic procedure done.
How important is it, Tony, and this could be a dermatology question, but to take care of the facial skin?
Super important. And so in the AgeFix book, I give four things that everybody needs to do. If you want to turn back the clock, you got to do these four things. You got to apply sunscreen every morning, at least an SPF 30. You want to apply an antioxidant every morning. Vitamin C is probably the best one. You want to exfoliate your skin 2 to 3 times per week and apply an anti-aging cream every night. And the one I recommend is retinol. You can buy retinol creams inexpensively at the drugstore. Most drugstores have them. You know, Neutrogena, all these big brands have them. You do those four things: sunscreen, antioxidant in the morning, exfoliate 2 to 3 times a week, and anti-aging cream at night, and you're going to be way ahead of 95% of everybody else in the anti-aging department.
I know somebody who gets what is called a blue mud pack, and then they take it off, and that person is blue for like 4 days.
There's actually a procedure called the blue peel, with a chemical
peel. That's
it. Peel.
That's it.
Yeah, and so we do that in my office all the time. And it's a dye that we use to kind of make sure that that peel is nice and even. And that dye, just like you said, could take 4 days.
Yeah,
or so.
You look like an avatar.
Exactly, yeah, or a Smurf. Yeah, they leave the office looking like a Smurf. Sometimes it's a bit of a green color, so you can look like the Incredible Hulk as well.
I've seen some people with severe acne. I know some people that have severe acne where their faces, Tony, are pocketed. Is there anything you can do to fix that?
Yeah, so there's all these solutions I give in the book, and the great new thing for acne is called microneedling. And this is a treatment that consists of tiny needles that you poke the skin, you create trauma to the skin, and then apply a growth factor over it. And that growth factor could be something that we can get basically that's pre-made, or you can actually use your own blood and apply your own blood over that area, and those growth factors seep in to smooth that skin out.
How soon does that kick in when you do that?
You know, you can actually see results just within a week or two.
Wow, that's pretty fast.
Yeah, and usually the microneedling can be aggressive. It can be more mild, depending on how aggressive you want to be. But that's one of the newest treatments for acne scarring and can work pretty well for people.
So I was doing 2 years of pre-dent in my college days, so I'm a stickler on teeth. That, too, cosmetically is very important, isn't it?
Yeah, and teeth are the first thing that I notice about people. And I give a couple of kind of beauty tips in the book as well. But the easiest thing right now, you know, for people, not everybody can go to a dentist and pay thousands of dollars for teeth whitening. All you have to do is go to the drugstore and get Crest 3D White toothpaste. Now, I have no ownership interest.
It's got some hydrogen peroxide in there, doesn't it?
Actually, well, they have the mouthwash, too. You combine it with the mouthwash. The mouthwash has hydrogen peroxide, just like you said, to whiten teeth. But the toothpaste has little silica granules that will actually help to scrub your teeth. And so it can get rid of 80 to 90% of the surface staining of your teeth within about a week or so.
Yeah.
And it actually works. And that's a great thing. You get $5, you combine it with the mouthwash, and it's one of the only teeth whitening toothpaste that I've ever seen actually work.
And I also recommend a ultrasonic type toothbrush that you can buy at a drugstore.
Exactly. And those are kind of these inexpensive tips I love to give patients. And that's why, you know, I put that all these things in the book, because you don't have to spend thousands of dollars and get expensive teeth whitening. You can do just like you said, George. You know, you get an ultrasonic toothbrush, you get Crest 3D White toothpaste, you get the Crest 3D White mouth rinse, and it's not expensive, and you will see results with it.
Back to the calls. Kyla in Toronto on the international line. Hi, Kyla.
Hi, George. Hi, doctor.
Hi.
Just a minute ago, retinol and Neutrogena. I'm wondering, what do you know about argan oil? Would argan oil do the same thing as the Nutra lets you get what I'm on my show about argan oil.
What is that? Argan oil, is it?
Yeah, there is actually this tendency for people to be using a lot of organic essential oils nowadays. And in general, these are in general good for the skin because moisturizing your skin can be very helpful. And some of these oils are filled with antioxidants. And I mentioned earlier applying antioxidant every morning, which can be really nice. A lot of people are big into coconut oil nowadays. So these are definitely things you want to discuss with your dermatologist before you really start applying it, especially if you're treating an actual skin condition. But definitely the organic essential oils, hugely popular nowadays. And some of them, I think, can be very helpful for the overall health of your skin.
John Kennedy, when he was alive, loved going out to get a tan. He was obsessed with it. Is tanning good or bad for you?
It's the worst thing you can do for your skin. So we mentioned earlier in the show how sugar is the number one dietary cause of premature aging. Well, getting too much sun is the number one non-dietary cause of premature aging. And so it's good to get some sun. You want to get your vitamin D, but ideally you do want to put good sunblock on, at least an SPF of 30. And one thing, too, with your children, you know, a warning for all of you, if you're going to apply sunblock to your children, you have to apply sunblock. Use a physical sunblock with zinc oxide or titanium dioxide, because the other ones are chemical and they can get into our bloodstream. In addition, the worst thing you can do is these sunscreen sprays on your kids. You spray that on your kids, they breathe those chemicals into their developing lungs. It is not good for them.
What about these sunless tanning lotions?
Those are fine, and those are basically just dyes, you know, and so much better to do that than to try to get a golden tan, and especially if you go to a tanning salon. That's one of the worst things that you can do for your aging and for the health of your skin.
Joe in the Bronx, you're on Coast to Coast, Joseph.
How are you, George? I wanted to ask Tony now, is there an easy and convenient non-surgical way of getting rid of facial birthmarks?
Not necessarily. The problem with birthmarks is, you know, we can easily get rid of age spots, and there are treatments like lasers that we can use, IPL devices, get rid of them very, very quickly. But a birthmark is a deep pigmented lesion, basically, that the only way at this point you can get rid of it is to surgically remove it.
If you can remove it.
Yes. Yeah. People have tried doing things like dermabrading it and lasering them off, and it just doesn't work. That pigment is too deep.
I've seen some people, Tony, that look like they have huge tumors all over their face. What is that?
Quite often that's a disease kind of called neurofibromatosis. And it's probably better known as the elephant man disease, where there are these little tumors, and some of them can get quite big. They can grow around different nerves in the body. And unfortunately, these tumors grow all over the body, even inside organs, and it can be quite disfiguring for people. And it literally is the same thing that the elephant man had in the elephant man disease. And we have surgically excised some of these, but unfortunately, there just is not a good solution for it. It really is a tough, tough disease for people to deal with.
Do they grow back if you cut them off?
They can, yeah. That's the problem, is you can whittle these off, and they get scars from it, and more grow in their place.
Are people born with them as children?
Usually they start developing as they get older, and unfortunately, they, unlike some growths, they don't disappear on their own. They don't regress. There are growths that do that, called hemangiomas, but these don't. And so, you know, that's why, you know, if you ever saw it's an old movie now, The Elephant Man.
Oh, yeah.
It really is a very disfiguring type of a condition.
And that was the worst of the worst, The Elephant Man, right?
Exactly, yeah. And it really can be quite deforming, especially when you have it on the face. And like I said, I've taken these off of people, and you just feel bad because you can take them off and they get scars out of it and just more pop up typically afterwards. So hopefully with our technology improving, we can find a solution for that. But right now there aren't, you know, to my knowledge, there aren't any great options other than surgery.
Why are some people microwaving their armpits?
This is a great new treatment. So it's called MiraDry, and it is a permanent solution to underarm sweating. So there's so many people that even in the wintertime, they sweat through their shirts, they ruin dresses and blouses and shirts, and you can actually use microwave energy through this device to destroy the sweat glands. In addition to doing that, it can also reduce the hair growth there, and for people who have stinky armpits, it can get rid of the odor because it doesn't sweat anymore, and it's a permanent solution to sweating. Works fantastic for people, and we do it on people all the time.
Scars on people. Do some of these over-the-counter creams actually work?
Limited improvement with those types of stuff. So scars are permanent, so there's no such thing as an invisible scar or a disappearing scar. There are creams that can help reduce them. Usually you want to use something that has 100% silicone, but even that, best case scenario, you give it a year or two and the scars start to fade. But there's no way to completely get rid of it, just like stretch marks.
Anne in New York City, it's your turn. Anne, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Well, I did find a cream once in the Chinese, in Chinatown, in the Chinese herbal store.
Uh-huh.
That I put on, I had a scar on my foot from tripping over a water spigot when I lived in California. And it was a really big scar because it's right where you bend your ankle all the time. So that tends to scar. And I started putting it on and it got smaller really fast and went away completely. But then they sold that company to, it was a Chinese company, I think, and they sold it to a Singaporean company, and it wasn't quite the same anymore. But so I don't know how to get those ingredients. It said it had eucalyptus in it.
Eucalyptus, yeah, the tree.
Anyway.
Yeah, you've got to be very careful when you buy some of these products, kind of medical products in stores like that, because the FDA, technically, it's against the law to import actual medical treatments and use them on people. There have been doctors have actually been arrested for doing that. Now, there are these stores, especially, and they're typically, you know, different ethnicities, where they will actually bring these types of products into the States, and they're technically black market goods. People even tried to import in black market Botox, have been injected into people and have killed people with it. So you just got to be very careful if you're going to go to these kind of ethnic areas and get medical things, especially if it's not something that, you know, that's a trusted name that the FDA hasn't cleared, because you don't know if that's illegally brought in. You don't know what's in it. Just be very cautious when you're doing stuff like that.
Well, you got to be careful. I know we do a lot of medical shows, Tony, and we're very, very careful about saying what these items do. You can't say they cure cancer, they do this. You know, you can have some testimonials on from people who've tried it, and they say how they feel, but yeah. You really got to be careful.
And I think there's something different if you go to a health food store, you know, here in the States versus you go to a Chinese grocery store and you pick something up there and all the writing's in Chinese, you don't know necessarily what's in it. And I just would be very, very cautious.
Oh, they have done studies on some herbal supplements do not contain what you think you're buying.
No, and I've seen, you know, I've got advertisements for other companies saying, oh, buy my Botox vials, it's half the price, and it's coming from other countries, and you don't know what's in that. You know, and there are doctors that are injecting that stuff. It's against the law, but you can buy this stuff in the black market online and stuff. Just I would encourage your listeners to be very, very careful.
Why do people go to Tijuana for some plastic surgeries, Tony? Money?
Yeah, it's all about money. And I've seen the most ridiculous results coming out of these countries where people are just absolutely maimed. They are disfigured. You just have to be careful. And the one thing to keep in mind is even if you get a reasonable result, if you have a complication, who's going to pay for that medical care? You don't know that your health insurance in the U.S. is going to pay for medical care in Mexico. And so it could be a very, very expensive proposition in the end. So don't cut corners. Don't do that with your health. I would strongly discourage this type of surgical tourism is what we call it.
Douglas in Silverdale, Washington. Hey, Doug, go ahead.
Oh, hi, George and Tony.
Hi there.
Hi.
I had a question about removing visceral fat. I lived in Japan. Well, George, you know, I lived in Japan. I told you about the children in their shoes kicking
yes.
you off and talking about the weather. I went to a plastic surgeon there, and they said that removing visceral fat is it's impossible. Is there any new technologies coming out
that
would be able to remove visceral fat?
And visceral fat is fat around key parts of your organ. What do you do about that, Tony?
Yeah, so the easiest way to describe it to your listeners is it's basically a pot belly. So when people have a pot belly, the fat's on the inside, not on the outside. You can't pinch it. And the only way to get rid of that fat is diet and exercise. Surgically, is it possible to remove the fat? Technically, yes, but I don't know of any plastic surgeons or general surgeons that would do that.
It's dangerous, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's called the omentum, and this is fat that's around your inner organs. And every time you go and operate inside the abdominal cavity like that, you can get inner scar tissue, and that can cause other problems with bowel obstruction and all this other stuff. So
Jeez.
The only way to get rid of that is by diet and exercise. And unfortunately, that's fat that runs in the family. So if your mom or dad has a pot belly, there's a good chance that you may have one too.
What do you think of stapling the stomach to get people to lose weight?
You know, there are every couple of years there's a new weight loss surgery. The one that we do now most commonly is called a gastric sleeve, and they appear to work pretty well. I mean, people do lose a lot of weight with it. In general, these surgeries are getting safer and safer, but it really is the last resort. You know, if you can lose the weight by diet and exercise, and there's so many great diet books out there,
yeah.
You know, and there's Weight Watchers stuff, that's the way to go if you can do it.
It's all about calories. All about calories.
It really is.
Tony, until we meet up next time, be well, okay, my friend?
Hey, thank you very much, George.
Name of Tony's book, of course, is called The Age Fix. It's a fascinating read about plastic surgery, and if you're contemplating getting it, get the book, too. Up next, 2 hours of open lines here on Coast to Coast AM.